Hello and welcome to Killing It, the Crimecast. I am Lux.
And I am Sam.
And this is a little mini-sode, which we like to call Killing It Quickly.
Our Killing It Quickly episodes are like a sort of shorter version of our normal episodes. If you listen to us regularly, you know we end up jabbering on for quite a while. It ends up being an hour. So these episodes will always be 20 minutes or less. And it's just a nice little episode.
Just some fun stories.
So I reckon we're going to jump right in.
Let's do it.
You are going first?
Yep.
Yeah, right. Let's do it.
Yes. So to find this story, I just sort of typed in like weird crime.
Yeah, just to clarify.
Weird murder.
The Killing It Quicklies, we tend to try and make them a bit funnier.
Yeah.
Normally it's really research heavy and it's a bit fun, but these ones, they're going to be like
light, short
stories.
We
try and make them very dumb.
Yeah. So yeah, I just typed in like weird crime. And my sources for this were from The Consumerist and The Washington Post. Are you ready, Sam?
I'm ready.
I don't think you know what's about to happen.
I genuinely don't.
No.
That is a fact.
So, in September of 2006, in Florida, a 23-year-old man called Joshua James was arrested for petty theft, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and unlawful possession and transportation of an alligator.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Guess what the deadly weapon was?
Was it the alligator?
It was the alligator.
Oh my God. Did they class the alligator as a deadly weapon?
Yeah. So, in October of the previous year, Joshua James was wearing a backwards baseball cap. Of course he was.
Dangerous person. Either that or he was about to engage in a Pokemon battle.
Yeah, maybe that's what the alligator was.
Oh my God.
He just sort of threw it and he was like, what do they say when they throw the Pokemon balls?
Go get them, alligator.
Okay, yeah.
Just throwing an alligator at someone.
So.
Alligator, use bite. Doesn't have any other moves. Tail whip.
Oh my gosh, yes. So he was just driving along with his backwards baseball cap and he saw a 3.5-foot alligator on the side of the road. Naturally, as one does, he put it in the back of his truck and continued on his journey to Wendy's, the fast food chain restaurant.
Where else would you go with an alligator?
Of course. He was taking it for lunch, mate. It's adorable.
What are you going to do? Take it to Burger King? Don't be ridiculous.
So he makes his order at the drive-thru and then heads to the collection window. He pays. He takes his jumbo-sized soda and he then reaches in to the back of his trunk, pulls the alligator out, and throws it at the drive-thru clerk.
Oh my God.
He genuinely threw the alligator.
Oh my God.
Yep.
I love that. I love that.
I knew you would. It's
like, you know, there's that prank where you like throw a milkshake or something or you throw your fries.
He threw an alligator.
Oh my God, that's so fucking crazy. I love that.
Yep.
That's so funny.
So, this is his. So, he was caught about a year later. And this man has been ordered to stay away from all Wendy's. He's been given 75 hours of community service. He was charged $500 and now has a criminal record.
Oh my God.
He's also been told to get a mental health evaluation and to stay away from all animals with the exception of his mum's dog.
What? I mean, yeah. He's going to fucking throw this dog at everyone.
Maybe he did think it was a Pokemon.
Oh my God, he actually thought... I would love it. There are two things in my head. One, he thought it was a Pokemon battle. Mm. He thought the guy at the drive-in thing
was... It was a lady.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hashtag woke. I hope he thought it was a Pokemon battle. Either that, I just love that that's the most Floridian version of that prank.
Right.
It literally, if someone told me that that happened and it wasn't like in the context of this, I'd just be like, well, that's too obvious. That's too obvious. It's literally just like, in England, it's just like, ha, here's your burger back. Drive away, Cuthbert. In America, it's just like, here's your fucking gator. I love that. I love that.
In attempting to explain himself, he said it was a prank. According to his parents, he knew the Wendy's employee and thought it would be funny to throw an alligator at her. Judge Barry Cohen disagreed with this statement and said, this type of thing is not a prank, it's a crime. And in my view, there is absolutely no excuse for taking an animal, particularly an alligator, and throwing it through a window at a total stranger.
I'm with you, Judge.
Yeah.
I'm on your side.
So no one was injured, which is
great.
It's
very funny, though.
Okay, I'm going to show you a video in a bit. Even the clerk thinks it's funny.
It is funny.
So no one was injured, not even the alligator, which was released back into the wild.
Mm, good.
Would you like to see the video of this alligator being thrown at a clerk?
Yeah, go for it. Okay, so Lux just showed me the video. It's very funny. The clerk, clearly, she thinks it's funny.
She knew it was a joke. Like, and also...
You see the gator for just 1 second, like half a second. It just goes, it flies by.
And, you know, she's just smiling. And then she's like smiling and laughing. And then after a while, you can sort of see it cross her mind that she's like, oh, shit.
I'd best get out.
Yeah, and she just like backs up out of the window. I think it's a hilarious prank. But I mean, obviously, you know, you don't know what the alligator could have done. He could have bitten your friend's hand off. So it wouldn't have been funny if people had been hurt. But they weren't, so it is funny.
It was super dumb, but I love it.
All right, tell me yours now.
Cool. Okay, so we're going to go on to my story now. This is the story of Ricardo Richardson.
Okie dokie.
Now, Ricardo Richardson and his friend Mike Desiderio, they were two part-time homeless teen boys living in Queens, which basically means they stay with friends.
Oh, okay.
You know, stuff like that. The two were squatting with a group of other young teenagers in a house on Maspeth Avenue in Queens. Ricardo and Mike were out on the night of June 12th, 2004. They had a wild night of what I can only assume was some weird, wild Queens homeless teen-based rave.
Yeah.
I joke, but I genuinely have been to raves like that in Cambridge. It's in an abandoned warehouse, and it's like the opening scene of Blade.
You're literally so cool, I can't deal with it.
Like, I'm not going to say which warehouse it was that all the filthy, disgusting raving was going on.
I know which one it was. You pointed it out to me once.
Yeah, but like, if you're from Cambridge, you know which one it is.
Unless you're a nerd like me.
So, they arrived home very early the next morning and decided it was time for a nice rest. And this is where shit got, like, really messed up.
Okay.
An extremely heated argument ensued about a pillow.
Oh.
A very heated argument about a pillow.
Oh.
And now, like, this story on the face of it is kind of insane, but I thought it'd be fun to do like a dramatic reading.
Yes,
so I'm going to read this as if it were an exciting, crazy,
like you're the narrator for a true crime show.
Okay, here we go. Descend into the role. Mike was exhausted. The long night of raving had made the inside of his head feeling like it was spinning faster than a ballerina trapped in a washing machine. He had danced and 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 danced until, not unlike this sentence, the word lost its meaning. He finally arrived back to his squat. Finally. He walked through the doors, and there on the floor was his trusty pillow. Ah, pillow. Its soft, supple curves drifted ever so gently across Mike's coarse, world-weary cheek. As the gentle fabric slithered round to the side of his head, cradling him, as though it were the loving family he yearned for, Mike felt a single tear dance its way down his face, blazing a crystal trail which glimmered and sparkled in the morning sun, which was fighting its way through the shabby curtains. But even the intrusive sun could not tempt Mike away from this moment of pure, unmediated bliss, for he had, holding in his hand as it held him, his pillow. Suddenly, Ricardo was above him, and as quickly as he appeared, he swiped the pillow out from under Mike's head. Mike felt as though he'd just had a child torn from him, and he began to yell at Ricardo. Ricardo did not have to be persuaded to respond with anger, and he began yelling also. Mike snatched the pillow back, but was weak. He had tired his hands out from making finger guns and clutching glow sticks. The night got heated. Suddenly, as if from nowhere, Ricardo revealed a long slice of reflective steel. He was holding a samurai sword.
Going.
Yeah, I'm still going.
Oh, okay.
He was holding a samurai sword. Okay, back into the roll.
Do it.
Ricardo brought the blade down on Mike repeatedly, over and over. He had spent days infusing his psyche with powerful drugs, cocaine, and other concoctions to muddle the mind. Before he knew what he had done, Mike was dead. The pillow, soaked in blood, was forgotten about, perched on the floor, witnessing Ricardo fleeing the scene of his friend's body, never to cradle Mike's head again.
God! That was beautiful.
Thank you.
I was not expecting it to end that way. Fuck.
Yeah, I thought it would be better as a dramatic reading.
I was on the edge of my seat.
I hope so. So Ricardo was caught soon after and was charged with murder. He went to court and his initial claim was that Mike had brandished a pellet gun and Ricardo had thought it was a real gun.
Right.
But eventually he changed his story and kind of admitted that he'd been so fucked on drugs for the days leading up to the murder that he just went nuts.
I want to know where a homeless boy got a samurai sword.
Well, apparently he always used to brag that he kept it in the boot of his car. So again, he's part-time. He's not like a proper homeless. He's like a runaway kid.
You know?
Stays with friends, lives in squats, occasionally goes and sees his parents. But he's like, he's not homeless.
Right, okay.
But yeah, he was given, due to the fact that he had been so out of his mind at the time, and I imagine, yeah, there were some other things, and he pled guilty, he was given 15 years minimum in prison. That's the very minimum. Chance of parole until 15 years.
I'm comfortable with that.
So that's my story.
That was beautiful.
That's my story of the death of Mike Desiderio.
All right, guys, that's it from us this week.
I'm still kind of reeling from the fact that I'm not sure why I decided that would work better as a dramatic reading.
I think it was beautiful.
Should I do more dramatic readings?
Let us know what you think.
If you want more of these dramatic readings, I'll do it. I'll do voices.
Bitch, I'll do it.
Oh, we'll do it. We'll do voices. We'll do accents.
Yeah.
I already do all of those.
Yeah, but we'll
but,
do it
you
more.
Know, controlled.
I say we. Sam will do it more.
Yeah. So that had been Killing It Quickly.
That had been Killing It Quickly.
All right.
I don't know, you just stumbled over your words a bit, so I thought it was funny.
That was killing it quickly. That was killing it quickly.
Right, so you can let us know what you think on Twitter at Killing It Crime. You can let us know on Instagram.
You always mess up on the word Instagram.
Why can't I pronounce it?
Always, every single time. It's Instagram. Every single time.
So you can follow us on Instagram at Killing It Crimecast, and you can email us at killingitcrimecast@gmail.com.
You can also rate and review on iTunes.
Yes.
So give us a nice cheeky little 5-star review and we'll name drop you. We'll give you a shout out.
Also, just to mention again, we do have an active Patreon as of last week. So give us some dollar if you want extra episodes.
Okay, so we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.